Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks, Jeremy. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. A lot of Lions talk today. The Wolverines and Spartans, both on the road, both with big games this week. Michigan State, the 11 p.m. start at USC. I saw 16.5. Michigan State's getting 16.5. Gator, you saw 17.5 somewhere?
Yes, Caputo tweeted out 17.5.
Yeah. I believe Michigan's a 1.5-point favorite for their game against Nebraska. We shall see. But looking forward to another weekend of college football right around the corner. I did, man. It's, I always turn the page, and I like when it gets to be Saturday night late. Part of my routine is, all right, what do we got next week? Looking up what the good matchups are, start times. Always, you know, what are the start times? When am I working? What games got to take in? We had a noon start Saturday. Behold the noon start. Love the noon start. Not everybody does. Got it. I love them.
If you had told 10-year-old Doug,
yep,
that Michigan was going to play games at Oklahoma, at Nebraska, at USC, and then he had a home game at Ohio State, all in the same season, oh, also at Michigan State, all that going on in the same season, what would 10-year-old Doug have been like?
I'll tell you what, today-year-old Doug is excited, and right? There's also a game at Wrigley Field.
Their game against Northwestern's
at Wrigley Field, yeah. To say that I, in fact, Jansen and I were talking about it today, and this doesn't apply to everybody because not everybody gets to go to all the games. And I'm like, this is a fun season, a fun season. Got a lot of great historic venues where a lot of great games have been played. I'm really interested to see the Coliseum in L.A. because
strange, man.
Strange,
it's
right?
A strange place.
It's but it's kind of some hallowed ground, and it also might be a dump. And yeah. I like to look at the positives and think of, you know, the great college games that were played there and some of the Notre Dame USC games, and there've been Super Bowls held there and the Olympics. It's been the opening and closing ceremonies and Carl Lewis and NASCAR and all kinds of Steve Knievel and here I am. I'm fired up.
But I'm just like thinking back to, you know, when I first started watching college football as a youngster, and Oklahoma Nebraska was a big rivalry. Dude. And those were great. And USC was a great team with all those running backs they were putting forth back then in the late 70s and the 80s. And to see all this happen, like you literally, you got to go to Oklahoma.
Well, and the Michigan State fans can go to USC this week. I don't know. Were talking about going. Is that?
You know, it's not going to happen.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I got excited there for a minute.
I mean, I literally can still make it happen. I'd have to use frequent flyer miles to do it.
Which you have.
I do. I don't know.
Kang, how do we convince him to go to SC? Do it for the show.
No, that's not good enough for him anymore. We got to do better. I'm going to think of a way. We're going to get you there,
You
buddy.
Had some enthusiasm for this idea when you saw the start time and you're like, maybe I'll go. And I'm like, what?
Maybe I won't.
I'm like, why would I want to go? 8 o'clock game on a Saturday night in... Which it's
8 p.m. Pacific
time if I'm out there.
This was I'm sure you'd come back with stories, man.
Like if
you've been there before, right? To see Johnny Morton, UFC, wasn't that there?
Yeah, former Detroit Lion wide receiver Johnny Morton get knocked out.
And you thought he died.
I did. I literally thought he was dead.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar's first MMA match. That was that same night. God, it was crazy.
Well, now John Morton's back on the Lions. You need to go. Because
straight line drawn from that experience to this.
Yeah. Maybe I'll take a look at flight
tickets. Okay, so it's not 0.0.
It's not 0.0.
All right, good. Yeah. 248-539-9797. Okay, so feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox on this Monday, tons of it. And we do have Champ and Chump. Love getting your Champ and Chump votes in here. Champ Vanderbilt for trucking South Carolina at South Carolina. Chump UCLA for giving up on college football. Okay. So, yes, Vandy and Pavia is incredible. And it's not, Vandy has done some things I never thought Vandy could do. UCLA, man. Look.
Pride of the Big Ten.
An absolute disaster. And they fired their coach, them at Virginia Tech. And when you fire a coach after three games, guess what? Players can go in the portal. And if you've only played three games, guess what? You can redshirt. I'm wondering if these two programs are going to be able to field a team the rest of the year.
So the odds have come out for the next head coach at UCLA. The odds on favorite right now to be the next coach of the Bruins at 4-1, John Gruden. The second at 5-1 odds, Deion Sanders, followed by Kenny Dillingham, Justin Wilcox. Some other names are interesting on the list that I found interesting. Kurt Cignetti is 18-1. Lane Kiffin is only 25-1. I can't imagine he's going to leave Ole Miss to go to UCLA at 25-1. Matt Campbell's 38-1. And then you get some crazy ones like Dabo Swinney and Dan Lanning, Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, Nick Saban. The last ones are just dumb. But the top of that list, Gruden or Sanders? Interesting.
It'd be entertaining.
It'd be entertaining as hell for the Big Ten. But the way that UCLA has acted, I don't think there's a chance in hell they would hire one of those guys.
They're running a massive financial deficit. They have a stadium that is gorgeous, but nobody goes to because it's like an hour bus ride from campus. What they need is they need an on-campus facility. I haven't been on that campus in a long time. Why are we breaking down UCLA football? They got problems. 248-539-9797. From Paul in New Haven. Hey, guys, I want to be the first person to say this. The Detroit Lions will win at Baltimore because the Ravens' defense is not as good. If they contain the running game, the Lions will win a shootout 45-38. It's from Paul in New Haven. What do you make of that take? Saucy, as you like to say.
It is a little saucy there. I mean, they played Cleveland. They gave up 17 points to Cleveland. And Joe Flacco, they only sacked him twice. Dylan Gabriel came in the game too, by the way. It was 3-for-3 in the game for Cleveland. They gave up over 5 yards a carry in the run game. But I don't know. Baltimore is one of those teams that always scares me because I'm scarred because of the last time they played them, right? It was just a dreadful game a couple of years ago, completely non-competitive game for the Lions en route to a 12-5 season and going to the NFC Championship game. Along the way, one of those stumbles was a big-time stumble at Baltimore or against Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I'm still scarred by that. Lamar Jackson is, he's great. But here's something to keep in mind. And we said Cleveland's got a pretty good defense. They gave up 41 points to Baltimore. But what they did was stop the run. They say, you're going to beat us through the air. The Ravens carried the ball 21 times for 45 yards. Between Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, they carried it 13 times for 36 yards. It's 3 yards a carry. And most of that, the higher average there is because Lamar Jackson only had 2 carries in the game. But Derrick Henry was 11 for 23. Can you stop the running game? And if you do, then you're opening yourself up. Okay, you better be able to stop the pass. Then the passing game is going to be what the passing game is. They have good receivers. Say Flowers, DeAndre Hopkins, these are good receivers that they have. Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, the tight end is good. I kind of agree. I don't think the defense is as good as it has been in the past. And offensively, do you pick your poison with it? Just say, we're not going to let Lamar beat us with his feet, and we're going to stop Derrick Henry as well?
I don't know that you can do that.
You can try. Which is what Cleveland did.
I think it's extraordinarily difficult. And, to me, this is not a game I would deem a must win, but I would go so far as to say if the Lions win it, it is a message sender if you go to Baltimore and win. But I already can't wait for next weekend. I can't wait for next Monday. Paul, you are the first to say
it.
You
are
Paul,
the first.
thank you for sending in the text.
Like, that defense did give up 500 yards to Buffalo.
248-539-9797. Gator, I want to get your thoughts on the start of the season for one Aiden Hutchinson. We'll do that today at 1:16.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carson, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. What a performance yesterday from the Detroit Lions, 52-21. And maybe they don't suck. They ran the ball. They pass protected. Defensively, they took it away. So as bad as week one was, and you know, the week two was great. Both were only one game in week one, one game in week two. But you know, I feel pretty confident. We got 2 years of performances like yesterday, right? And so is this closer to who the Lions are, who they will be this year? I think it's easier to make an argument, yes, that's the case, than it is to make an argument that they are who we saw in week one. But then the other thing is, when there are new pieces being introduced at critical spots, you probably are going to be far from a finished product when you debut. And so you see through week two, week three, week four, tangible improvement is possible. And I think we get more of an apples-to-apples comparison when the Lions take on the Ravens. If the Lions get smoked by the Ravens, then we could say that work still has to be put in. They didn't come very far in the week two game against the Bears, that it's more reflective of who the Bears are. Right? I mean, going to Green Bay and going to Baltimore, is there a huge difference there as far as perceived challenges? Doesn't feel like it, does it? Those are both massive challenges.
You can find challenges everywhere, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about huge challenge going to Green Bay. Huge challenge going to Baltimore, right?
Yeah, hostile environment is, it's part of what makes football great. I mean, going and playing in front of a stadium of 70, 80, 90,000 people, depending where you're at, it's so great. I mean, football fans are the most rabid fans that we have here in the United States. And the 12th man is a real thing,
mm-hmm.
You know? And when you're playing outdoors, it seems like it's even more impressive, and that's what you faced in Green Bay. That's what you'll face in Baltimore. But fortunately for this team doesn't shrink. This team is battle-tested. They've been together for a number of years now. This isn't some, they just showed up overnight. They built this thing the ground up. They rebuilt this thing from the ground up, and they did it the right way. They've done it through the draft. They've done it with finding the players that make sense for them. They didn't go for the flashy stuff. They went for what works for them. Are these guys, you know, going to love football? Do they take to coaching well? And let's get the best coaches out there and get the most out of these players. And they've done that. They've resurrected some careers in some cases. And, now they're also a place where some veterans would love to play. This is a well-oiled machine, but can they take the next step? And for this team, that next step is getting right back to the NFC Championship game and hopefully getting to a Super Bowl. And the ultimate prize, of course, is holding that trophy.
248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Feedback to the Carson Anderson inbox. And we do appreciate all your texts and phone calls. Let's see. Andy in Roseville says, let's see what happens when Green Bay goes on the road. First two games at home. Yeah, I mean, look, what we got to remember is the degree of difficulty as far as schedule is concerned, is reflected in all the NFC North teams. And they have to play the AFC North, and they have to play the NFC East, which means games against the likes of, Cincinnati might not be as big of a challenge as we thought, but Baltimore, got to play as defending Super Bowl champions in Philadelphia, all the teams in the NFC North. Now, the positional games, yeah, the Lions drew Kansas City. But it... Yeah, Green Bay has to go. That's some difficult road tests as well. I think, early read, two teams battling it down to the end, Detroit and Green Bay. Feels like it's quite possibly what this is going to come down to, and that maybe Minnesota isn't there yet. Rookie quarterback's going to have his ups and downs. Kid's really talented, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback, but maybe the challenges are still there. That's one. Two is, I mean, the Bears might still be the Bears. Unnamed texter, Brian Branch was the best player on the field yesterday. He was everywhere. Well, boy, let me tell you something. Kelvin Shepard, I love the way he used him. He was frequently used as a extra rusher. They like to blitz him, and he was extraordinarily effective in that role. He also makes plays on the football. The punch out, the pass breakups. Brian Branch is the kind of player that I just used to be so jealous that other teams had. And his contract's coming up, and I don't see any reason why they shouldn't try and lock him up early, maybe for a little bit less. That's going to be a lot of money sunk into safeties, but I mean, these two guys, Joseph and Branch, what a duo back there, huh?
Yeah, I think we go back and look at that that draft, and if we remember how we felt about that draft going into it, when you had the second day and Brian Branch was available, and we're like, wait a second, Brian Branch is available? He's still there? And all three of us were like, please God, let's get Brian Branch. And then they did. And how happy we were, you know, to get him with the 45th overall pick. And I think we were all stunned that was available to them. And fortunately for the Lions, because he was spectacular. He's been absolutely spectacular. And they didn't use their first second round pick on him. They used the second round pick on him. He was still there at 45. How many teams are kicking themselves for not taking Brian Branch?
248-539-9797. I think the Lions are good. I don't think they're as bad as they were last week, but I don't think as good as they were this week. They're kind of in between. It's just the Bears. They're very, very bad, and the Packers are borderline elite. That's from an unnamed texter. Well, I mean, I do think it does matter that we have two seasons of them looking like this on record. And because they have two seasons of them looking like this, I think last week's, you know, reports of their demise were greatly over-exaggerated. And, you know, if we didn't have two seasons like this, it'd be a little bit more, okay, I still don't know who they are. But I think we know who they are. Champ of St. Brown watching him block downfield is an absolute pleasure. Chump, the classless fan, showing great disrespect to Ben Johnson. He did a lot here to help bring this team to this level and deserved much better. Look, it's not in my... you're not going to see me chanting F so-and-so at a game anymore. A younger version of Doug might have thought it was cool. It's funny how it becomes cringe when you get older. Like, why? It's totally unnecessary.
Well, particularly if you have kids.
Yeah,
experience. I'm just saying, if you have kids and you go through that experience at a game, at a stadium, and some chant like that breaks out, and you're like, all right, I got to do a teaching moment here.
It's a teaching moment, but that's part of being a parent, right? Yeah. And I don't need you to shelter my kids. I will take care of it, and I will teach them what I... And that's always been my approach, is I brought them to a game. I know what can be said at a game, so I need to be ready to parent them when the time comes.
But Daddy, what are they saying?
They're saying bad words, and this is not how we're not going to do it, and you're not going to do it. But anyway,
I wouldn't
have done it. I wouldn't have done it. And I do think it's a little low class. Especially because the guy did do good things here. And Ben Johnson didn't walk away from here and saying, I'm the reason they were good. Other people did. And I think really the frustration...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Should be pointed at those people.
You know what? In hindsight, I wish they had done. And Lions fans were brilliant at this when they did this a couple of years ago, when they started the Jared Goff chants.
Yeah.
It was because Matthew Stafford was on the other side. What if they just done Johnny Morton chance? Like, that would have been better. Can we do that? I mean, next time, get the Bears, maybe Johnny Morton chance. Does that sound like a better idea?
Yeah.
Or a Dan Campbell chant, whatever you want to do. I mean, you don't have to do the F. Ben Johns. You feel free. You do what you want to do.
I don't like telling people how to behave.
Yeah, I'm not going to chime in on that either. I'm not going to speak like that. But, and like you, if I was younger, I'm sure that I could be persuaded to get in on a chant like that. But, you know, now seeing how we as Lion fans reacted with Stafford in the first place, and Goff had the great game, and it became a Jared Goff thing where now you hear it, you could walk in a mire and hear somebody yell out, Jared Goff. You know, it's awesome. So maybe Johnny Morton next time.
248-539-9797. Get your ticket text in, your champ and chub votes, your phone calls. Aiden Hutchinson, Gator. Promise we get to him. Got going in the second half. It was good to see. He did lead the team in pressures in this game. Finally got a sack. Finally got a tackle. He was statless through six quarters of football this year. He got a sack in the second half. And I think for him it was a bit cathartic. His reaction to it was like, thank you.
Well, he got the sack after he got chop blocked.
Yeah.
And that was nervous, right? We're all nervous there. You see him get chop blocked and he gets up and he's limping a little bit and he did not look good. I thought, oh, crap, don't do this. And that's, you know, anytime you see chop blocking, that's a cheap play anyway.
Yep.
That's why it's outlawed. So I didn't like that, but I did like to see that he stayed in the game and that he made a difference. He got a bunch of pressures on the quarterback, ended up finally getting that quarterback sack. There was another play where it looked like he had it, but Caleb Williams kept scrambling and then ends up throwing the interception on that same play. So I think I'm surprised, based on what we saw in training camp, that he has been slow to get going in the games.
Mm-hmm.
Because it looked like at training camp he was already at 100% speed. And maybe that wasn't the case.
Car Scott Anderson, 97 with a ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Everybody feeling much better on this Monday. All three local teams won, Michigan, Michigan State, and the Detroit Lions. So, a little bit of an exhale.
Tigers got a win yesterday. Scoobel checks out that he's not injured. Thought maybe he might have been on Saturday.
Still not sure if he's going to need to miss a start, but
right now they got him scheduled for Thursday's.
They don't seem to be panicked about it.
No, they don't seem to be panicked.
So that is good. Meanwhile, yesterday Lions 52-21 over the Chicago Bears. Bears took their first possession, go right down the field and score, and then they had a 3-and-out and a punt, a 4-and-out turnover on downs, a diving interception by Kirby Joseph. On a Dunze touchdown right before half, 3-and-out punt, turnover on downs, punt, a late touchdown, a 3-and-out punt. It worked. The formula worked. They played good enough defense, and they were back to their normal selves offensively, which last year was an elite unit. And they were awfully, awfully dangerous. They set records yesterday. And Jared Goff, the 16-17 in a row, whatever it was in the second half, came close to a career high. Could have hit that career high if they'd left him in the game, but they were able to get backups in there. Very good. Very good performance. Reassuring. And it's time to start stacking up some wins here. A huge challenge coming up on Monday night. Not a must win, but I think if they do happen to win it, it'll feel like a message sender.
I really thought that they sent that message at the end of the first half. The Bears had cut it to 21-14 with a minute 55 to go. And the Lions had the ball with a couple of timeouts, and they calmly went down the field. And then things got a little tight, like 25 seconds left. They throw the pass down the sideline to Tesla. He catches it, and then there's a hole. Is he inbounds? Is he out of bounds? What are we going to do? We got the 10-second runoff. The Bears had gone into the tunnel. They'd started heading towards the tunnel, thinking it was halftime. No, sir, it was not. Lions caught a little bit of a break there. They get a play with 6 seconds to go, which actually means they had time for two plays because they're at their 4-yard line. And then right away, touchdown pass. So 21-14, which could have been a halftime score,
yep,
ends up being 28-14. And then you start the second half, and you get the basically the three and out for the Bears to start the second half, and the Lions came down and end up with a field goal to go up 31-14 early in the third quarter, and that's it.
Had one of my favorite plays in the game, and I can't wait to talk to Jared about the first offensive play in the second half was a 64-yard pass on the crossing route to J-Mo, and he kind of weaved through the defense down the sideline. Thought he might score, but eventually traffic caught up to him. That was one of those plays where J-Mo in his route was kind of caught in the wash there on his crossing route. But Goff could tell if the pocket was collapsing, it was getting muddied, and he waited that extra beat for J-Mo to come open and deliver it on time. That's an experienced quarterback that can see what's about to happen, not what's happening right in front of his eyes. And he didn't tuck it and run. He didn't panic and threw it away. He knew if I just waited this extra beat under duress, we're in good shape to get a big play, and they did.
He made that one throw to Brock Wright where he's rolling to it. He actually flushed out of the pocket, rolls to his right, and then kind of throws across his body back to the left to Brock Wright that picked up positive yards. It's little plays like that, man, mm-hmm. and he was making them all game long. Jared Goff was 23 out of 28 for the game, 334 yards and 5 touchdowns. I mean, it's 12 yards a completion.
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good. 12 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
248-539-9797. Some of these champ and chump votes that have come in here on Carson Anderson. My champ, Atlanta kicker John Parker Romo, way to take advantage of a chance. Chump Lions fans chanting F-Ban Johnson, come on, we are better than that. He was dedicated and helpful, turned a losing organization around, and took a big job and pay increase. Many of us would do the same. Also, think of the kids and families trying to enjoy the game. No place for that language. Grow up.
Well, he helped to turn. He didn't turn around. He was part of the coaching staff that helped to turn things around as the players and everybody all together there on that. And secondly, I mean, this is nothing new. This is how fans react at games. Now, if you want to call it all out as classless, that's fine. Go ahead and make a blanket statement like that. And you shouldn't lead chants with profanity like that. And, you know, but this can't be the first time you've gone to a game and heard something like that with your children, unless it was literally the first time you took them to a game.
I'm still sort of in such disbelief that the Lions are putting such a good team on the field. You know, I want them to win the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. That I'm kind of grateful for what Ben Johnson did here. It's not in my DNA to chant F anybody anyway, but that to me is, I'm like, okay.
I understand that. And to me, I feel like as time's going on and now Ben Johnson's with the rival, then I get a little worked up and I could say maybe he got too much credit because the guy who came in new helped light up 52 points against you. How about some Johnny Morton love? Okay.
The new OC.
Yeah. They, what do we hear about? They were going to take more chances downfield. They took chances downfield. Goff overthrew J-Bo on one, hit him for the touchdown on another, and threw downfield on a third one to J-Mo that was misplayed. But those are at least three plays they threw deep downfield in the Johnny Morton offense that put up over 500 yards.
Let's see. Unnamed texter. Champ for Bud Crawford to jump multiple weight classes and get it done is impressive. I agree. Then he goes on to say, I think Canelo is the best of his generation. Bud did that. Chump, Bears defense. Champ, the Michigan Wolverines. Chump, Brad Holmes for allowing Za'Darius Smith to sign with our primary Super Bowl nemesis. So he didn't play a ton of snaps, and he did make some plays. He had a sack, half a sack. He had a couple other tackles, and let me see how many snaps he played. He didn't play a ton of snaps.
This is with Philadelphia?
Yeah. Za'Darius Smith played 20 snaps. He was felt in that game. But hey, look, Lions had 4 sacks yesterday.
Yeah, and one of them was by Marcus Davenport.
Yeah, let's hope he's okay.
He had more injuries than sacks yesterday, though.
It's true.
That's the thing about the whole Za'Darius Smith text, and now Jadeveon Clowney's going to sign with the Cowboys, right. Apparently. It's like, they're good now, I guess, according to the Lions, but I'm under the assumption that Marcus Davenport's definitely going to get injured at some point this year for multiple weeks. And so who steps up at that point, you know? I mean, the guy I just don't want to get hurt at all is Aiden Hutchinson. As long as he doesn't get hurt, then fine. We move on with other injuries are going to happen in the league. But Davenport, I just don't have any... I don't have any faith he's going to be there for 15 games, you know?
Al-Qaeddine Muhammad had four tackles in the game, including a sack. He's somebody to keep an eye on. I see how he develops as a player and somebody that's out there for a lot of snaps now. Mm-hmm. Wingo's on this team now, and he played a bunch of snaps. I can't wait to see Josh Pascal come back. But really, I'm excited about what may or may not happen at the trade deadline, and whether it's Hendrickson or not. I mean, you get to the trade deadline, the Lions have cap space that they have saved. I'm going to guess specifically for this reason, and they'll be one of those teams that can be buying at the deadline to improve this team and hopefully put them over the top to make a real long push for the playoffs.
Jay in White Lake, you're on 97 on a ticket. Hi, Jay.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Good. All right, Jay.
So my champ is St. Brown for literally being clever enough in 5 seconds to eclipse my ex at being able to hook my emotions on strings and control me like some sick puppet master. And then my chump is, you know, honestly, everybody on either side of this whole Ben Johnson thing. It's like sports are emotional for the fans. That's what makes them so successful. Football will make you say the kindest things in the world or the most horrible things in the world. So you got the guys that are furious about Ben Johnson and dropping the whole F Ben Johnson thing at the game. And then you got the other side that's outraged that they're saying it, and it's because it's classless, and I get it and all that, but it's like, just move on. This is sports. It's all about emotion, and we're human beings. So it is what it is. It's always going to be that way. It's never going to change.
You're probably more right than wrong. Thank you for the phone call. Daryl in New Huddy, you're on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Daryl?
How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, we got a new nickname for Jared Goff, guys.
What's that?
The Rifleman. I brought this up a couple years ago, and everybody, well, it's a little too early to be talking about a nickname for him. Well, how about now? This guy, 17 passes in a row yesterday, 23 of 28, 18 the year before, complete. This guy is, you know, when he's got his guys together, that offense is unbeatable. And they are on top of their game right now. And as long as everybody stays healthy, that's it. Another thing I got for you is this. We need to change that one word in that fight song yet, guys. Roaring down the field.
Very important issues. I'm glad we attacked them here on Carson Anderson. Goff's nickname and change one of the lyrics.
Yep,
the fight
there you
song.
Go.
They have been addressed. They have been addressed. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket. Car Scott Anderson, 97.1 a ticket. Good Monday, everybody. Lions win. Michigan wins. Michigan State wins. Tigers salvage a game in a series. Magic number 7. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Travis next on 97.1. Hi, Travis.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking the call. Sure. You know, that went about as well as any outcome possibly could. You dominate in a bounce back game, knock off the Bears, go to 1-1. And, you know, I don't want to get too high, much like I didn't want to get too low after the Green Bay loss, but turning our eyes to the Monday night game, I know the narrative is going to be, how are we going to stop Lamar Jackson? And I really want to say, how are they going to stop Jared Goff? Because through 2 weeks, the Ravens' defense has been putrid, guys. We saw what Buffalo did to them. They gave up 323 total yards of offense and lost the time of possession battle to the lowly Browns. So the Detroit Lions are going to have an opportunity to move the ball and score points on Baltimore. That's not a question. Yes, the question is, can you contain Lamar? But with the interior offensive line being cleaned up, if that's really what happened, as opposed to the Bears being terrible, the Lions are going to have a wonderful shot on Monday night, fellas.
So, look, the big thing here is, how are they going to respond to being on the road? I don't know if it's as simple as young and new parts, bad communication that they need to straighten out. But if it's a different deal, like, that's why I'm glad they're actually doing it now. I'd say going to Baltimore and going to Green Bay are similar challenges. And, you know, maybe the teams are different, but I'm talking about the environments. And I think Detroit has a chance to show improvement by responding to this environment only 2 weeks later after it was honestly a disaster.
Yeah, and it's, if you're a Ravens fan, it's alarming to see how many yards they gave up against Buffalo. I mean, that's 500 yards in offense. And the Lions just put up 500 yards in offense against Chicago. So that's what's coming for them. And if the Ravens can't get after the quarterback, then the Lions offense will hum along. We see what happens when Jared Goff has time. And look, it's one game where the offense was spectacular.
Yep.
But that was in the friendly confines of Ford Field. We were able to hear what the next person next to you was saying. When you go into Baltimore in front of 70,000 fans on a Monday night, it's different.
Let's go to Dave in Clinton Township here on 97 on a ticket. Hello, Dave.
Hey, fellas. So one thing in both games, even in the loss to Green Bay, that is kind of like that I like seeing so far is the second half. Since the guys have been in town, they have not done well coming out of the tunnel the second half, making adjustments or whatever. These first two games of this season, they seem to take off right where they left off.
Well, I mean,
it's the second half team for the first part of their go around.
Dan Campbell's still in charge. We obviously have new coordinators, but we'll find out over the long term. It's too early to draw any conclusions on the coordinators. But, yeah, I mean, there were good adjustments made. So, with you on that. Do you have a landline back there, Dave? Is that what we heard?
No, that's the work number. I'm all supposed right to be working, so.
Well, get back to it, buddy.
I'd rather talk to you guys. I used to call all the time, and then I went to a company that I couldn't call because they actually do the ratings for you guys.
They do the what? Oh, I heard what you said. Yeah, probably shouldn't even bring that up. Let's go to Rodney in Westland. You're next. Hi, Rodney.
How you doing, fellas?
Hey.
I got a comment to make. I have to stick up. I didn't call to make a political statement, but I have to stick up for my former president. I'm a veteran. I was a commander, and I guarded Jimmy Carter for a year and a half. And when he died, the flags were not lowered to half mast even. So it's going to be up to our military to straighten our country out and in. You can see what happened. And that said, I'm going to leave it alone. My champs are which go together, the offensive line and golf. Without either one or the other, we wouldn't have had a day like we did yesterday. And my chump is for Holmes. Keep throwing our Davenport down our throat like he's going to make us believe by signing him and having him is going to make our line, defensive line, better. He's not going to even last half the season.
Well, but if he does, and it's a big if, and that's the thing with Marcus Davenport, if he can stay healthy, he is a good player. But how many games are you going to get out of him? I hope they can get double-digit games out of him. I hope it's around 15. But, you know, they're two games into it. And he came in and out of the game yesterday with different injuries. I hope he's healthy enough. And maybe they have an extra day because the next game is Monday night. Maybe that matters for him.
Brendan and Royal Oak, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, my champ has got to be that this offense can still be explosive without Ben Johnson. And then my jump has to be how overblown the Ben Johnson chants were. I mean, I can see it going both ways because he did disrespect us kind of going out and going to the Bears, but I mean, he was a centerpiece in turning this franchise around. So I just think it's overblown and taken away.
How is it disrespectful for him just to take another job?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that like the press conference where he didn't even mention Jared Goff's name. He said the quarterback, and then just going to the
Bears.
Is
that really that big a deal, though?
No, it's not. That's why I'm saying I think it's overblown. But
oh, okay.
I can see it going both ways. Yeah.
Well, look, he's in a weird spot because my guess is as much as the Detroit fan base can't stand Chicago, Chicago's fan base can't stand Detroit. And if he is anything if he's too effusive in his praise, and he referred to Goff as the quarterback, if he's showing that he's, you know, likes him or misses him in any way, that's going to get misinterpreted on the other side, right?
True. True. But being at the game last night, just or yesterday, in terms of the chant and how many people were engaging in the chant, from what I could tell, it happened from one end zone, and it was maybe a couple thousand fans. It's not like there were 65,000 Lions fans chanting it, but it was audible.
Kang, what do you think of this?
Well, Jared Goff heard it, right? So he reacted to it. He didn't like it. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it is a weird spot for him, Doug. You know, you can't give too much credit because he knows he went to a rival team. And the thing is, I think he went there for multiple reasons. Obviously, he's getting paid more, but I think he's very familiar with this division, and that's why he stayed in the division. He's trying to give himself the best chance to succeed. And although the Bears, they're not a team that everyone thinks like, oh, you can go turn them around, it's easy. No, but he's very familiar with the Packers and the Vikings and the Lions because he just came from there. So I think, hey, man, this is, I know it's the rival, but at least I know the division, and it kind of helped me if I went to like the AFC West or AFC South. I don't know those teams as well, right? Because it's hard to get jobs in this league, and that's why you got to find the right one and hopefully succeed, because getting a second try, it's not everyone gets one. And if it, and by the way, if things don't work out for Ben Johnson there, and Johnny Morton's great, and he goes and gets a head coaching position somewhere, I'd welcome back Ben Johnson.
I hear you. All right, Champ and Chump, thanks for all your votes. We'll post on our website tomorrow who the people select as Champ and Chump of the Weekend. Heavy voting today. Of course, a lot of people want to discuss a football team that bounced back in week two, and they'll get to do so next with Rico and Mike. And Rico is in studio. What's up, man?
What's going on, guys?
How are you?
Good.
That's good.
Doug, didn't realize you were officiating, well, not officiating, but you were calling a game that had Batman in it.
Putting Jayshon Barham at the edge spot really did make a difference.
I need you to call him Batman.
We'll see.
What's the Batman thing? What am I missing?
At one point, somebody asked Biff Poggi about Jayshon Barham at edge rusher, and he said, "I think he's Batman." Or did he? He said Jayshon might be a superhero. We got to check for his DNA. He was funny.
But Bryce was Batman. He may be Batman.
Jayshon might be a superhero. We got
to
check for
his DNA. Batman dropping back the pass.
Probably not, but. We'll see.
I'm trying.
How are you?
Good, man.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Good weekend?
Yes. Good weekend across the board.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lions went out there, handled business.
Yes,
now
they did.
We see. We're going to ask the question, you know. Later on in the show, we do a little game called Can We Say That?
Okay.
We're going to ask the Lions fans, give us some things that we can say based off what you see.
Have a good show.
Thank you.
Have a great day, everyone. Stay safe.
You know what? I'm jealous of you guys. Just wanted to
just get outside again. Another one of these days, huh? Treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.